I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
So then she starts getting ahead of herself and fantasizing about being married to him in England.
Yes, and yeah. then we have that really nice, quite poignant final scene with
Ali.
Yes. Yeah. The fascinating life. Would you like to hear about it? Is that scene? Is it?
Yeah, that's where they imprison the Russian security guy. In a cabin, and then Ali says, "Oh, you go off, James. I've got this." And then he says to the guy, "I have led a fascinating life. Would you like to hear about it?"
Yeah, and that's sort of poignant. And then he obviously kills himself.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realise.
So Pedro.
Yeah.
Pedro Armand. How would you say his surname then? Armendariz.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
So he committed suicide. I think before they'd finished filming.
Oh, blimey.
Maybe just after he was dying, he had terminal cancer. So he's a bizarre story. He'd been in this film in the 50s. It was produced by Howard Hughes,
mm-hmm.
and they filmed it in Utah.
Ah, yeah. Was this the Attila the Hun or Genghis Khan or something?
It was the Conqueror. Yeah.
Yeah, the Conqueror.
And they were doing. So it was in Utah, and I think the American government was doing sort of nuclear testing. I wrote it down here, it's nuts. Yeah, within 25 years, 91 of the 220 people involved in the production had developed cancer.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't realise he was...
Six of them died. So he got neck cancer. He knew it was terminal. He took from Russia for love just for the money for his family.
God.
And that's why he's limping in a couple of scenes. Like when he's running through the cellar, he's limping and things. And
God.
Anyway, he committed suicide... I'm pretty sure before they'd released the film, 1963.
Yeah.
In a hospital back in the States. So that line, fascinating life, would you like to hear about it, is kind of quite poignant.
Yeah, it came out in October, so he was dead before it came out. Also, this was John F. Kennedy's favourite film.
Yeah, and it was the last film he watched.
Yeah. It's cursed. We discovered the curse of From Russia with Love.
Yes, pretty much. But I know then his son was in License to Kill.
That's right. Yes, he was the El Presidente.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm sure you and El Presidente will make a wonderful couple. Yeah, that's interesting. I did not realise I should have looked into that.
I can't believe I've out-triviaed you.
You have. You have. God,
what a moment.
I feel a fool. But yeah, Bond and Tatiana are having a chat, and the porter comes in and says there's been a terrible accident. And they go in, because as he left the room with Ali, Robert Shaw was walking the other way, so
yeah.
We know what's happened. And they go in there, and then it looks like they've both shot themselves. Or shot each other, I should say.
Yeah.
They didn't just both shoot themselves. I'll tell you about my fascinating life. Oh, he shot himself.
What a critic.
Yeah. He's on that bit in Airplane.
It's E. E. Gilden with his gun at the end of the story. But the, yeah, so he shot him. And then, is this around here where Bond slaps Tatiana in the face?
Yes.
Pretty jarring.
Really jarring. Yeah, it's not nice. It's really unpleasant. There's no other way to talk about it, really, because he's really upset about Ali and he feels that Tatiana's involved somehow. And
anyway, then we're on to that beautiful scene at the platform, the nighttime. Yeah.
Well, where he tells Ali's son very nonchalantly that his dad's dead.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's like, oh, your dad's dead, by the way.
I don't think it's even the first thing he sees. I think it's no. A little bit of banter. Then he's like, oh, Christ, sorry. Forgot to mention. Don't get all funny about it, but your dad's dead.
Don't cry.
No. Yeah, and then he sort of quite impatiently tells him his dad's dead and then sort of cracks on with his main point. And then...
I'll tell you, I can't think of a way to say it nicely, but what have your dad and Hovis got in common? They're both brown bread. Now.
Anyway, bit of a laugh. So, sweeten the pill.
Yeah, and he basically then gives him orders. He says, here's some of your dad's stuff. Now go and ring London and get someone from Station Y to meet me in Zagreb.
aggressively gives him orders within seconds of passing on the news about his poor old dad. So that's a bit odd. But then there's really it's just really nice sort of Hitchcocky stuff at this stalking through the windows of the train and the score here is amazing and. It's just feels such smart storytelling when you get to this point.
We should say as well, this is John Barry's first proper score, and it's just an absolute beauty.
And they do amazing things with the sort of sound here, and it feels very contemporary. These little sequences actually, and again, very different from some stuff earlier in the film.
Yeah, but basically, when they get to Zagreb, Grant has intercepted the agent, killed him. Yeah. And meets Bond and says, I am, what does he call himself? Captain, I can't remember now, Captain Ward or something.
Yeah, and shall we have dinner, is that right? And
then, that's right. He says, I'm famished.
The dinner really reminded me of, have you seen Shirley Grossman in La La Land?
Yeah.
Where he just keeps making ham-fisted attempts to drug people.
That's right.
Have you seen it? He's just constantly trying to drug people and drop things in their drinks. And it really reminded me of that, this ham-fisted attempt.
Because he does it quite blatantly, doesn't he, Red Grum?
Yeah.
Bond spots it, but doesn't say anything. Because Tatiana goes on a bit, so he's probably quite happy.
Yeah, just anything to take the edge off.
But I love this. This is, like you were saying earlier, Bond's fairly passive up until the train sequence. But when they get back to the compartment, she goes to sleep and then he just turns around to Greg Grant and just says, very matter-of-factly, what was it? The stuff you put in a drink.
Yeah.
And Grant, knowing the game's up, just says, chloral hydrate, quick but mild. Well, he doesn't know the game's up yet because he's playing along and saying that I'm drugging her because it'll be easier, blah, blah, blah. But eventually he pistol whips Bond and he says to him, you know, how did you know it was me? And then he said,
it's the wines or something.
It's red wine and fish. Yeah.
Yeah. Not knowing his wine, but
not knowing his wine. Not a true gentleman.
No. And then this fight scene, which they filmed for 3 weeks.
It's so good.
I know. It's brilliant. And again, I just love that. Extravagance of it, like the 3 week shoot. An episode of Guilt is 2 weeks for a 60 minute BBC episode. They did 3 weeks for this fight, which I don't know, what's it, 2 or 3 minutes probably in the
end. Yeah, it's just the lights being out and the strobing.
The lighting, yeah. It doesn't feel dated in any way, I don't think.
Two big fellas as well. You can really feel their weight in the fight, and yeah, it's so good.
Really going for each other, and they were pals as well. I bet there was a fair bit of competitiveness with it all. And both quite masculine figures, but it was it's probably one of the first great Bond fight scenes, maybe.
I'd say so, yeah, because Dr. No didn't have anything of any use
on that scale.
Right, but Grant gets the better of him, and then says, you know, he's got the gun, And then Bond says, "Look, you know, can I have a?" He says, "I can have a last cigarette." And then says, "By the way, there are 50 gold sovereigns in that suitcase. If you let me go, you can have them." But this is going back to earlier with what Q showed him, that if you, the brackets that open, not brackets, the latch that opens the suitcase, if you turn it the wrong way, it will blow a gas canister out.
Yeah.
So Bond hands him the suitcase but turns the latches the wrong way. And Grant still got the gun on him. Oh, no, this is how they get start the fight, sorry, isn't it?
Yeah, that's how it all kind of all kicks off. But then, yeah, the latch trick gets Bond back on top.
Yeah. And then he strangles Grant with his own garrote wire.
Yeah.
Which is a callback to the beginning of the film when he kills the Bond impersonator. When he kills
the guy with the mask, yeah. So that poor, oft trainee guy sort of has some sort of narrative impact later.
Yeah, he should have a picture of him in heaven. Just going, smiling. Bond doesn't do a joke because there's a running thing that Grant keeps calling him his old boy, isn't it? Old boy.
Yeah.
And he doesn't see. I thought he could have said, "Nice death, you've garrote there."
Well, that is superb, John. It's frankly superb. And I wish that had made, I just wish he'd been around at the time.
I know. Or, what a choker.
Either strong. Put them both in.
Put them both in, yeah.
Yeah, put them both in. Maybe Bond could say one and a passerby could say the other.
Oh, what a brilliant one. Yeah, like a porter just go walking past.
Yeah, chirpy porter.
We need a chirpy porter in this.
That's missing. And then, so they're then...
He wakes up Romanova. And this is when they're in Scotland now. They just get off the train and steal a truck.
Yeah, and it's really, again, it's all really exciting stuff, all the action-y things. And they get it. So they're in Scotland, so that's Argyll shot all this. And it's brilliant. It's just great, epic backdrop and the helicopter, the North by Northwest homage.
I was just going to say, yeah. Yeah.
And then it's really weird, though. I don't know if somebody didn't shoot him. They were just sort of lobbing grenades.
Yeah.
And
but he's got that sniper rifle, hasn't he? So
he gets them down.
Mm.
And then he's off on the boat, is that right?
Yeah, he gets on the boat. And the first thing you have to do, Neil, when you get on a boat, is put on a natty little captain's hat.
Yeah, the captain's hat.
It's the law.
Just pop that out.
Yeah, looking like Adam Buxton. they get on the boat and they're away on the boat, and then they get attacked by more Spectre people, led by that guy from the beginning who was doing the training exercise.
Then we cut back to number one, three, Cleb and
Cronstein. Sort of,
yes, that's right. And we kind of is it Cleb that sold back to the Russians at that point?
Yeah,
everyone's just starts really sweating in that scene. I noticed as well.
Yeah, because it's all gone tits up, and they've lost the Lecter as well.
So he gets away in the boat, and then back to Venice.
Mm-hmm. And they're having, because they're now pretending to be a married couple. And you know that because when they go back to Venice, they're sitting in a room and not talking to each other. And then there's a room service turns up as Bond's ringing HQ to say, you know, we got the Lecter, we're coming back in. And it's actually Cleb with her shoe with a knife in it, with poison tipped, which is how she takes care of Cronstein. She kicks him with the poison tipped shoe.
Titania, Bond doesn't recognise her, but Titania turns around. She starts her double take about 5 seconds too early.
Yeah.
And then they have the kind of they have the fight to the death.
Yeah.
Pins her against the wall.
Yeah.
Bond does.
Yes.
It's how to handle an angry woman.
That's right. Sean will tell you that.
And then it's she's dead.
Yeah, Tatiana shoots her.
Yeah. They get off in the And they're off in the boat.
In the boat, and she hands him... he's got the film that he got off Red Grant, the film of their sex tape. And as they're kissing, he just drops it into the Venice, into the water.
He drops it in, and then you kiss, and then it ends on that mental
wave.
Hand action.
Yeah, like a swan's neck wave.
I don't understand what he's doing. He's like... He's trying to shadow puppet an elephant. He's just waving it about.
Yeah. And then the credits says, not quite the end. James Bond will return in the next Ian Fleming thriller, Goldfinger.
Yeah.
And it was true.
Amazing. Such a commitment from the studio to do that.
Used to be my favourite part of a Bond film was getting to the end and it saying, James Bond, we will turn in, and they give you the title. They don't do that anymore.
No, and also I noticed at the beginning they call it Ian Fleming's From Russia With Love, which is you would never get that credit now as the sort of author of the adapted book. But
no.
So there we go. But I think the second half of that is just top Bond.
I agree, and it really, really helps that you've got Robert Shaw, who we did mention, but he's a cracking baddie in this.
Yeah,
he's got such presence.
Yeah, he's amazing, and he's got such sort of soul to him as well. He was he's a predominantly theatrical actor, and he didn't particularly enjoy doing TV and films, I don't think.
No, he didn't.
And he was big old boozer and stuff, wasn't he? But,
yeah, there's a good documentary about him I saw not long ago.
What was there?
I saw a good documentary. I can't remember what it was called, but it was about his life in Ireland, basically, because he bought a big house in Ireland.
Yeah.
In a small little village in Ireland, and he loved it there. And he had, like, God, how many kids did he have? He had about 12 kids or something.
Oh, really?
He had a lot of kids. I'm probably wrong about that, but I think his wife died. And then,
yes, that's right.
And then he was solo parenting, which he loved. And then he was driving along one day with his daughter, and he had to stop the car and he got out and he just dropped dead.
Yeah, he was quite young, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was only like 53 or something.
Yeah.
And all his kids were kind of left. It's very sad.
Yeah, he's such a brilliant actor. Oh. I think you're right. I think if you put someone in that kind of role with proper gravitas, it really... And it probably brings a bit more out of Connery as well.
And you've also got the nice yang to Bond's yin, you know, because he's blonde, Bond's dark-haired, not quite the gentleman, Bond's the gentleman, and that's how he finds them out, but they're both super strong, and it's a nice, what's the word?
Nemesis.
Yeah. I love Robert Shaw, apart from in The Sting, where I think he's terrible.
Oh, yeah.
When he's doing that Irish accent. You better not try that with me.
He got Jaws off the back of this, though, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I think Spielberg is a massive Bond fan.
Yeah.
So it was a choice of his that he was very keen on.
Hello, my name's Beth Murray, and if you'd like to hear funny people talk about giving birth, then have I got the podcast for you.
Poor Richard, he made the schoolboy error of standing up to see the baby while I was on the operating table, and I think that's really not recommended.
You were scarred for life, he was scarred for life. In the latest series of One Torn Every Minute, a whole labour ward of new guests tell me their birth stories in hilarious and graphic detail.
Gas and air can suck my...
That's One Torn Every Minute. Available now on all good podcast platforms.
I suppose you wouldn't do it at all, would you, if you really thought about it?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But now we've finished For Much With Love. I'll remember how to speak. And we've reached the point of the podcast where I'm going to ask you some quick fire questions.
Okay.
Neil, are you ready?
Okay.
Okay, so Neil, what is your favourite Bond film?
I'd say probably Goldfinger. I think it's sort of peak Connery.
Mm-hmm.
And I love all the Stoke Park stuff, so yeah, probably that would edge it for me.
Perfect. And what's your least favourite Bond film?
I've not watched it for a long time, but I remember being very bewildered by The Living Daylights with Dalton rocking up. But I'm sure it's not a bad film, but that's probably the one that kind of confused me the most.
Okay. And could you give me your made-up Bond film title?
I think I'll go for the saying, which was Joe Royal, when he was the Oldham manager in the 90s, he used to say, win or lose, we're on the booze. And I thought that could be a fun Bond title.
Okay, so Bond is full of silly laden names such as Holly Goodhead, Plenty O'Toole and Penelope Smallbone. Could you please give me your best Bond lady name?
When I was growing up, there was a woman in Dundee called Beverly Cleverly, and I thought I'd go for that.
Beverly Cleverly. Okay. So you are Q, sorry about that, but what gadgets would you have made for Bond in this film if you had your way?
I bought a pair of X-ray specs from a joke shop in Dundee in the late 1980s, and they had a cartoon on the front of them, and it was a man looking at a busty woman through these glasses, and he could see sort of right through her top. So I think it was about 10. So it felt unlikely, but I thought it was worth a shot. So I bought these X-ray specs, and I popped them on the bus back to Broughty Ferry, and they weren't X-ray specs. They didn't have any of those qualities. They were just a pair of plastic glasses. And that was quite a tough lesson for me to learn. And I think there's going to be no harm in James going through the same lesson as a sort of character building early scene. So I thought, as Q, I'd give him those glasses early in the film, and I'd say, like, these are great, you know, you can see through women's tops and stuff.
And look then at I the thought cartoon. See,
yeah, so I'd say, look at this, you know, they wouldn't put that on the front if it didn't do it. And I'd give him the glasses and say, you know, get out there and enjoy yourself. And then we'd maybe have a scene with James all excited about these X-ray specs, putting them on, going to Witherspoon's or something, or like somewhere busy, and all excited and, you know, getting in and looking all around and them not working, and him having to kind of deal with that situation the way I did on the bus.
How were they allowed to be sold?
Well, this is, I've brought this up a lot over the years about this, the fact they had that cartoon on them, and it feels to me like it crossed various lines, but I suppose what they're banking on is no one's going to call up the government or, you know, the relevant department and say, I bought these X-ray specs because I thought I could see through women's tops, and not what they don't work. You know, they were relying on people like me.
What if,
have-a-go heroes willing to spend their pocket money on him?
What if you bought a defective pair and actually they did work and yours were just broken? I mean,
that's a great starting point for something. Great premise.
Yeah. It could be like one of those things like one of those kids' shows, you know, where someone's got a magic thing that helps them do
it. Doesn't sound like a kids' show with a premise.
No, it wouldn't
Let's try
be.
It. We'll try it.
It would be Robin Asquith, obviously. Yeah. There's no one else who could do this part. Even now, he'd be good.
So that's what I'd go for, that being my...
Perfect. Okay, and finally, who would you have as James Bond next?
I remember reading about 15 or 20 years ago, an interview with Richard Blackwood. I think he was a TV presenter at the time, and he just very casually and confidently said that he'd like to play Bond, and he felt that he and Bond would be a good fit. And that's just always really stuck with me, you know, much more than any of the other names linked over the years. So I think I'd give it to, if he's still up for it, I'd give it to Blackwood.
You've just reminded me of that Viz, you know, Viz used to have those pretend stories in it.
Yeah.
Features. One of them was Richard Blackwood, the least famous man alive. I think that's written by Joel and Jason.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure.
Sounds like it.
Every time I hear his name, I laugh because I think of that headline. Oh, wonderful. Well, Neil, thank you so much for joining me in Istanbul for Lady Wrestling.
Thank you very much for having me. It was great fun, John. Thank you.
Yeah. And I will speak to you soon.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
If you're a fan of all things geeky, you're going to love Con Sessions, a brand new podcast by comedian Matt Hunton and myself, Beck Hill, where we interview your favourite cult heroes at Comic-Cons all across the world. We've got stars from Star Wars, Harry Potter, The Walking Dead, and more. Make sure you tune in soon to Con Sessions.